I was on before. But now the mic's on. Amen. How couldn't you be turned on after tonight? Come on. Thank you, worship team. Hi. Do you guys mind if I do some family stuff quick? Can I just hug you because I missed you in Cleveland? Sorry. Oh, that's awesome. Bless you. Good to see you guys. Oh, my goodness. We're singing this song that I don't want to sing like you're not in the room. I promise you, God reality will transform your life. Knowing Him is the change of your life. Please, every time you come to a setting like this, come to know Him more, open up your heart. Whether you feel like you're a strong believer or not, seek Him at some level beyond what you've sought Him. And give Him an opportunity to reveal Himself. And I mean, come and open yourself up to the King of Kings, okay? I'm telling you, He transformed my life in a bedroom. And I've camped there for so long. Like, it's my secret place. And I'm not in there sleeping depressed. He revealed Himself to me in the secret place and changed my life forever. And I just don't agree with people when they say life is tough. It's just that we don't have understanding. We're letting life rule us. We're letting life decide who we are. I use this phrase all the time. Jason and I were talking about, we let life speak louder than truth. Truth is what makes you free. Your circumstances don't define who you are. What Christ accomplished is the truth about you. So I want to talk a little about who we really are and why God loves us so much, because one of the biggest hindrances that was coming on my heart when I was standing here enjoying this time, I thought, man, love to some people, the love of God is still a mystery. Even though Christ came, they wonder how He can love them because they think they know them and they're acquainted with their personal life. So they weigh their value based on the knowledge of their own life, and then love becomes a mystery because with what they know, they can't comprehend God can love them. And I want to talk about that a little because I feel like that mystery needs destroyed in the room. And I just feel like God wants to cause you to really see His love, okay? Because I'm telling you, God reality and the love of God will change your life. Now, we're going to head somewhere. What'd you call this weekend? Look, I don't even know, man. It's so awesome because I'm like, that's all I preach. So that's good. Living to love. Here's the deal. God doesn't just love Jeff because that's what God does and that's who God is. And however you want to phrase it, you say, look, it's not what God does, it's who He is. So that's why I changed that. And He loves Jeff just for the sake of loving him because God is love. It's because God made man in His image and God loves Jeff so that Jeff becomes love. Yes. Come on. That's good. God doesn't love Jeff so Jeff is loved. He loves Jeff, so in Jeff being loved, he becomes that same love. Come on, it's the gospel. He doesn't show you mercy because he's having a good day and he feels like being merciful. He shows you mercy because it's who he is. He's merciful. His mercy triumphs over judgment. His mercy endureth forever. He will never change his mind about the created value of man, the potential of man, the destiny of man. God knows what we look like when he lives inside of us, and he believes that's worth dying for to bring alive. Are you following me? Come on. And you think I'm going to have a tough day today and be bound up with issues and people stuff and he said, she said? Not today, friend. The Spirit of God is inside of me. Do you understand? So that I can become love. So that I can manifest the Father. I preach this everywhere I go. It's not rhetorical. It's the truth. Mercy woke every one of us up today. But it's for a reason, not so you can just go to work, not so you can watch your kids grow for another day. That's all fun. That's a gift in life. But the reason mercy woke you up is to give you one more day to look like your Father. All of us were born into Adam. Romans 5 teaches that man sinned, man fell. He fell from the image of God. He was made for God's image, but the day he ate the tree is the day that died. So man became a god unto himself, and what was love in the beginning became self-centered and self-serving. I'm being a little fast for you and with you. I don't know why, but it's going to come out clear and you'll get it. But I don't know why, because I got a lot of time this weekend, but I think God wants to get a lot accomplished. I really do. I'm excited. I like your house here, man. This is fun. I like standing here. This is just good. So I feel real happy. Plus, some of my favorite people on the planet are right here in the first couple rows. So, actually, I just love people I get to know. And the more I get to know people, they all become my favorite. So, John's the disciple that Jesus loved, but that's me. I thought, how can you write about me? I wasn't even there then. And he's talking about me. God does love me. You know how I know? Jesus died on the cross. What else can that mean? You say, yeah, but my spouse is acting up. My kid took a hard left turn and my car ain't even running right. And I got laid off on the same week. Where's God's love in that? God's love is in Christ crucified. If you're trying to find God's love through circumstances, you're going to be way deceived, man. The measuring stick of God's love is Christ crucified. God's love is proven. It's not up for debate. If it's not already settled, you'll never be rooted and grounded, and faith can never work through love. You'll just be another needy person that goes to church crying out in despair. I'm not being mean. I'm being real. Love's already settled. He loves you. He loves me. Because Christ was crucified. Come on, what else can it mean? Here's a naked man. Be real with me. Here's a naked man on a tree. Anything hanging on a tree is cursed by God. He's not a man being cursed. He was made to be sin. Sin got cursed on the cross because sin was killing you and me. So God cursed sin in the flesh, and sin shall have no dominion over me. So here's what I do. I reckon myself dead indeed to sin and alive unto God in Christ Jesus. And I begin to live now by the Spirit of God. Are you following me? My war isn't with sin. It's believing destiny and value and God's purpose and my created inheritance. Come on. He won the war with sin. He defeated sin. He crushed sin. My job is to live by faith, reckon myself dead to sin and alive unto God. So every day I wake up, I'm not trying not to sin. I wake up and enjoy being accepted, enjoy being received, enjoy being His, enjoy being righteous, and I love being free. Yeah. You following me? Come on, it's the Christian life. Or you could wake up, oh no, another day at work. Man, I can't believe it. I didn't sleep too good, and oh, my boss is acting like a jerk. God, where's your love in my life? And the world taught you to think like that. Self-centeredness taught you to think like that. Thinking for you. Come on, you don't gather in a room like this for what God can do for you. You gather in a room like this for how He can make you more like Him. The world doesn't need me blessed in the way we think blessing is. The world needs me transformed so they can see truth. My goal and your goal to our instruction, 1 Timothy 1:5, is love. The goal of our instruction, the reason for being, is love. You get it? I'm going to be real foundation with you because a lot of fresh meat raised their hand, never heard me preach. So I'm going to lay a real strong foundation, okay? Now listen, I might preach something in a minute if you've never heard me in your first time at this church, and I'm not bashing where you came from or who you're sitting under, but I hear this all the time and it amazes me. People say, I never heard that in my life. I've been Christian 25 years. I've never heard that. I never heard that. Because see, we always hear where Jesus died on the cross because you're sinners. Well, He had to die because you sinned, but do you think He died because you're sinners? Why would He die for sinners? He had to die so your sin could be removed, but He knows there's something about you after the sin's removed. Matthew 18 says He came to seek that which was lost. What was lost? Your destiny. Your created value. The purpose of God. Through man's sin, we were born into Adam. You must be born again. So that we can get back to original value and fulfill the reason God breathed into dirt in the first place. Why do you think in John 20, when Jesus raised from the dead and put His blood on the mercy seat and came back in the evening on the same day with His disciples who were gathered for fear of the Jews, He came right into the room. They weren't together because they were in faith. They were together because they were in fear. He called them brethren. Why? Because His love never fails. He didn't say, you bunch of losers, where have you been? I was struck and y'all scattered. Y'all said to die for me and y'all ran for me. Bunch of blasphemers. I'm going to go find another group of men. You know, ministry would be great if it wasn't for the people. Come on, man. He didn't do that. He said to Mary, go tell my brother. And what he said is, I haven't changed my mind about them. I know who they are. I know their potential. And they're going to get it real soon here. See, when he hung on the cross, he said, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they do. Guess what? He's the truth. He's the light, right? He's the truth. He knows what he's doing. Here's what he's doing on the cross. He's saying to you and me, I know who you are, people. You're worth this sacrifice. My Father brought you forth through me before time. He saw your day before it was seen, and he made you for his image, and his image you shall walk in if you believe in me. I'm becoming what you were so you can become what I am. I love you, and I'm giving you my life. I'm giving you all that I am so that all that I am you can be in me. So receive me and see that your life is a whole lot more than the wisdom you grew up in. I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I am the life. Come unto me. That's what he's saying on the cross. He's not saying, you bunch of sinners, you better believe in me or you're going to hell. He's saying, I'm becoming what you were so you can become what I am. Yeah. He came to seek that which was lost. What was lost? His image. And you and I grew up believing we're sin waiting to happen, believing we're failures, confused how God can even love us. Wondering how he can even consider us. So we think we're just worms in the dirt, and by the skin of our teeth we'll barely make it. No, by the love and grace and mercy of God we'll make it because we put our trust in him. Now watch this. If you'll see that first love, you'll be madly in love, and you will live with diligence, honor, integrity. And you won't even know how to backslide. I'm serious. You see zeal in me? Do you see passion in me at all? Well, I've been saved for 18 years, not 18 months or 18 days. And I'm getting worse by the minute. And it hasn't because I haven't lived life and faced life, and God has me on a puffy cloud floating above life. I'm this way because I see why I'm alive. And no matter what circumstance I'm in, you squeeze me, Jesus is going to get out all over you. You put me in pressure, you treat me with injustice, peace and mercy is going to flow out of my heart. In fact, I'm not the fella to do wrong if you don't want change. Because I won't go to my bedroom and pray for you because I'm mad at you and disgusted with you and pray that God knock you off your high horse. I will weep for you because for you to live that way, you're telling me you have no clue who you are. But if I see who you are, I can take your face to the Father through the mediation of the blood of Jesus, and I can plead your case, and grace and mercy will come and get you in the middle of the night. That sure beats being anger, hurt, mad, discouraged, and praying for you out of spite. Or getting in self-righteous, religious, high-minded. You need to change them, God. They need to get it. No, if you knew who you were, you wouldn't live that way. Because Jesus told me that on the cross, and that's why I'm standing here with more than hope. Because Jesus knew what my problem was. I was blind and I couldn't see. I was blind, but now I do see. That zeal and joy you see in me, I express it. I can't help it, but it's way bigger in me than you're seeing. Because if I'd let it out like I feel it, I wouldn't be able to talk clear. Because you have to communicate the gospel. If I be besides myself, it's for God. So you gotta. So you think no one's done me wrong in 18 years? You think no? See, that's not the issue. It's not, God, why do you let them do that to me? God, why don't you stop people from doing it if you really love me? You see, you've never made the transition of why you're born again. And you still think it's all about you. And now you've reduced God to all about you for your sake. And now you think unless everybody lives cooker cutty perfect, you can't be okay. You've just made them Lord, and you sing to him in vain because there's no grace on your life. And all of a sudden you're no stronger than the weakness around you. And yet Christ lives inside of you. Don't you let things fashion you that aren't Jesus. Come on. Don't you give me three reasons why you're not where you should be. Because none of those things on the list are Lord.
Jesus.
They're human reason, human driven, flesh excuses. You say, yeah, but it was my spouse. Your spouse isn't Lord. I'm sorry they made those decisions. But why do you let them fashion you and potter you when He's the great potter? Why 5 years later after injustice, you're still a product of that injustice? Come on, your life is way bigger than man's sin. You ought to be ripped with mercy and compassion and not cry because of people, cry for people. Because if they really knew who they were, they wouldn't live the way they live. And all of a sudden we're victim villain thing like that. You know, victim villain. It's never that in the church. It's never you're a victim and they're a villain. They're in trouble and don't see clear and you're filled with heaven. Come on, do me wrong and see if you can change what you see in me. Try to emotionally abuse me. You'll get emotionally abused trying. Why? Because I understand something now. 18 years ago, it shifted. I realized you're not on the planet for me. I'm on the planet to love you and to manifest Christ. And I'm going to take that legacy to the King. And it'd be a sad day if I try to stand before Him and say, you know, I'd have believed in you if it wasn't for them. And all of a sudden I made people greater than Him. And all of a sudden I lived by sensuality and senses and feelings instead of the integrity of faith. Come on, you can't, you will get mad at this trying to stop this. This will run you over, I promise. I've been in full-time ministry preaching and in relationships of hundreds of people for 18 years, 16 years full-time ministry. Don't think I haven't had opportunities to be a statistic and things like that in the natural, but I can honestly stand here and tell you I've never been challenged by any of it. I don't even feel like I've had any opportunities because He has consumed me to see this way. I'm on the earth for one reason, to love you. It's why I'm alive. It's the whole reason you're a Christian. To love one another. Watch this, beloved. Let us love one another. Well, why would we do that? Because God is love. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He who loveth not just doesn't know God. He didn't say just doesn't go to church. He didn't say just doesn't serve in a ministry. He said if you don't love, it's because you don't know God, because God is love. The barometer of you knowing God isn't your confession of Him. It's your love. Now watch this. I can't teach on love today and bite my lip and go out and walk like that. And neither can you. But I can yield to Him. I can say yes to Him. I can give up my rights. I can surrender my life. Come on, that's it, girl. What did Jesus say in Matthew 16? The church is in this heaven craze. Pray this prayer to go to heaven. Pray this prayer to go to heaven. No, it's about heaven getting inside of you. Jesus didn't die to take me to heaven. He died to get heaven in me. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's on the earth. Don't look here. Don't look there. It's inside of you. Go preach saying the kingdom of God is here. Where is it? You're looking at it. Ask the guy on the airplane today. Because he had the seatbelt beside me. And then ask how I'm doing. Big mistake. Because I don't just say, okay, man. I'm cool, man. Glad the flight's on time. Hope my next connection's good. I'm messing up bad, man. Because Jesus never said, if any man comes after me, let him pray a prayer to get his name in a book called life so he knows he's going to heaven. He said, if any man comes after me, let him first deny himself.
Right.
Why? Because you were never made for you. You were made for the image of God. And the biggest trap of Christianity, one of the biggest perversions I've heard my whole Christian life, is all these messages that are self-serving and actually create a stronger stronghold of selfishness in the believer now that he's a Christian. And all of a sudden you have the right to be discouraged, disheartened, and maybe even confused and mad at God because He's not meeting your needs, answering your prayers. Where is He at? I thought He loved me. I've been reminding Him of His Word. And now you're confessing, 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 and you're frustrated and God ain't panning out for you. So now you got the t-shirt. Been there, did that, didn't work. It's because, yeah, I'm really bringing this thing true. Come on. There's a lot of hearts in here that know what I'm saying, or I wouldn't be on this tone this strong. Man, if you're discouraged, you've got your eyes on the wrong thing. He never promised me a bed of roses. He never promised me that nobody would act crazy. He promised me to give me everything necessary to be like Him. So you're never going to see anything but this. I promise you. I'm known back home for consistency and steadfastness. I actually have a very good name back home. A good name's to be treasured way more than any gold or silver. People know when they call me, I'm in love. That's my problem, by the way. I'm not just mighty man of God. Wow, what a man of God. No, I'm in love. It's His fault. We talked about this today. Nobody has anything unless it's been given. But if God's handing it out, we ought to probably humble ourselves and receive it and believe that we're worthy to receive it and that He knows more than our experience has told us we're worth. Come on, why would He die on a cross if you weren't worth anything? Who pays such a high, ridiculous price for nothing? I know you people. You don't write the check unless you're sure you got a bargain. Every man comes home with the car and he's telling his wife he got the best deal in town. I raked him down so low, he ain't making no commission. I got the best buy. And the reason you wrote the check is because you believe what you got is worth the price. Well, why would He pay such a ridiculous high price as the blood of His Son to obtain you if He didn't think the purchased possession was worth it? There must be a different gospel than I grew up with. You want to look in your Bible real quick with me? If you got one? Genesis chapter 1. I want you to see this. I'm going to be real foundational with you. You guys all right? You getting something? Come on, man. If this thing ever becomes about you, yourself, living for yourself is the worst enemy on the earth. It gives the devil a landing strip. Your problem isn't even the devil. And I promise you it's not one another. If our problem was one another, then God's a mess. He'd never be able to send His Son because we're just a bunch of stiff-necks that ain't going to get it right. Look, if you can't find the language that you have in your heart towards others in God's mouth, get it out of yours because you're made for His image. Wow. See, we kind of like make God this and us this. And yet He told us we sit in Him with Him in heavenly places and He's in us and we're in Him and we're one. We're the embodiment of Christ. As He sent Jesus, so we're sent by Jesus. As the Father sent me, so I. You get it? We reduce that to going to church if we're not careful and praying for blessings. And I believe I want healed. You know, I want everybody healed. We'll pray for the sick here tonight and we'll have fun with it. God's here. His love's here. And it'll be easy to pray for the sick tonight. But listen. If you haven't experienced a healing in your life and you've been pressing through and you've had everybody pray for you and you're still, man, throw away all the questions that are subverting your intimacy and relationship with God and rest on this one thing. You gave your life for me. I'm alive because of you. You're going to walk me through this. You're going to free me up. You're going to change things, God, because I trust you because you love me. And you've got to camp on Him and stay fixed on Him and not ask the million questions that get you out of identity and unsure and not rooted and not grounded. Well, what am I doing wrong? Well, there has to be a problem. Well, there must be a deeper rooted issue. Well, God, I don't know why He's allowing this. Well, why would the devil? And all you're doing is letting everybody around you know that you don't understand foundational truth that keeps you solid. And you're letting the sickness and the unanswered seemingly prayer define your life every day. And until that changes, you're not okay. Guys, I'm being as sensitive as I can when I say this. That's subtle, undiscerned idolatry. It's making things higher than Him. Yeah. And all of a sudden you reduce Him to a busboy or a table waiter instead of the Father of life. And I apologize because I feel like at large, teachers and preachers, we've preached the gospel that way, to self-serve, to make your life better. No, He transforms your life. Yeah. Yeah. He's not here to meet all your needs. Some of the things you think you need are just wants. Godliness with contentment. You don't need a family member to change for you to have peace. You have peace when you see their destiny above their actions and release it to God in the secret place. Come on. I don't have to have everybody doing right for me to be okay. Or everything else is determining us while we're making this outward pursuit of Him. But we're nothing more than a product of what we're facing, experiencing, and brushing against. And that is not cool. I want every heart alive and encouraged in this house. I actually believe it's unscriptural for a person to be discouraged. And most pastors wouldn't agree. We think, oh, Dan, you got to get real, relate. Everybody goes through discouragement. Only if you don't see clear. Because it says, if I see clear, my whole body's flooded with light. It doesn't say, unless, of course, I'm going through one of those human moments that we're all going to have. Come on, dude, that was good. Watch this. If I see clear, if I see clear, the eye is the lamp of the body, my perspective. And if my eye is single, that's King James, healthy is other translations, single. I like that. If I'm just looking through truth, through Him, not wide view lens, not multiple choice, not yeah, but, well, if. The world taught us to talk like that. But if my eye's single, man, if I find my eye through Him, and my eye's single, my whole body's flooded with light. If my eye's not single, there's darkness. It says, if the light in you is... It's Matthew 6:22, Luke 11:34. If the light in you is darkness... Do you hear the perversion? Do you hear what you're created for? What are you created for? But if the light in you is darkness, it says, how great is the darkness? It doesn't mean just how perverted and how lost are you. It means how twisted is your view. How blind have you become? How distorted are you in what you see? Because if it's just about he said, she said, and you don't know what I'm going through, yeah, Pastor, that'd be great if it was like that, but you don't know how it was when I was growing up. And we got all this language that keeps us separated from faith and grace. And yet our hearts honor Him and we love Him and we really do know we need a Savior. But if your eye's not single, you're not flooded with light. And if you have yell buts in your life, it's going to hinder the grace that changes us forever. Are you following me? Yes. Come on, this is huge. If I see clear, if I wake up every day and know I'm a son, and I rejoice in that in Him. I'm not talking about a confession. I'm talking about vital relationship, unveiled co-union with Him. I'm talking about waking up in the morning and not praying for a bunch of stuff in an impersonal way. And letting that be your prayer life. Go ahead and keep praying for stuff. It's scriptural for people and things and stuff to shift and change. I understand that. But sometimes that's all we've got and we don't have this intimate thing where you wake up in the morning, good morning, I'm so glad you love me. Boy, that right there would change your whole world rather than trying to believe He loves you. He already died and rose again. He's saying, I love you. So you probably ought to just believe it. You probably ought to just wait. Instead of, well, I just can't believe God can love me. What? He already died. He already came. He already rose from the dead. What else can it mean? He's saying, I love you. I know who you are. And I know what you look like when I'm inside you. You are so worth the price that I paid. Oh, come on. I didn't even petition Him to come. He just came. We didn't sign a petition. Hey, we're suffering down here. I think we're in an identity crisis. Would you send some help? Come up with a plan. We didn't. While we were yet sinners, on your darkest day, He didn't lose sight of you. On your darkest day, He didn't judge you for the day. He judged you for created value and destiny and potential. On your darkest day, He remained the same. Now, we haven't remained the same to one another on our darkest days. We say stuff like, well, they didn't change by now. They ain't never going to change. Or, I can't believe they did that. They should know better. Well, they're just wicked. They're just evil. Well, they're just, I ain't hanging around them. They broke my trust. How could I ever trust them again? Well, could you even imagine that language in Jesus' mouth? Well, then why is it in ours? We're His body. We represent Him. Could you picture Him going up to the cross? Or to the Golgotha with the cross? Do you understand that He's beat beyond description? Do you understand that they didn't just whip Him 39 times? Do you understand that Isaiah records it this way? He was marred more than any of the sons of men. That's a pretty serious whooping. What's your name, man?
Tim.
What is it?
Tim.
Tim? You said that like Alabama. I had to ask you twice because I'm Pennsylvania. Sorry. I love the accent, man. You girls get talking like that. It just melts me. I'll listen to you all day. Yeah, serious. Oh, there's just something about that accent stuff. But he's Tim in Alabama. And Tim. So I'm done. Watch this. You guys know Tim. You know his name and you know him by his facial features. So when you see Tim, you don't say, hey, are you Jason? Or call him Jason by mistake. You know Tim because he's Tim. But when they were done with Jesus, and if they would do that to Tim, you wouldn't know Tim. He was marred more than any of the sons of men. You think of the barbaric things that men have done to men over the generations. And what it says is, when they were done with Jesus, He was worse than any man was left at the hands of men. Think, marred more than any. Talk about love. He didn't do anything wrong, David. He did everything right. Totally pure, totally holy, totally sincere in everything He did. And the people He healed and the people He delivered got so deceived, they cried out, Barabbas, and crucify Him. And He just went right on that cross. I don't believe they threw Him on the cross. I believe He laid on that thing and opened His hands wide. Drive them in, boys. This is why I'm on the planet. One day you'll see. Don't tell me we don't have tremendous value. But listen, why did He have to get beat beyond description? It's one of my favorite. Because, you know, He died so we can live. He was separated from the Father so we could forever be joined. There's parallels. There's gives and take. There's things we receive through what He accomplished. And you can go on and preach a cool list of them. But this probably is my personal favorite. He was beat beyond description. Why? Because when sin got done with man in the garden, He didn't look anything like He was created to be. He was unrecognizable. So Jesus got beat beyond recognition as a man to pay the price for our identity to come back on us so we could be sons and daughters again. That stuff messes me up. And it's only because we don't understand that we get nervous around people about Jesus and feel the fear of man. It's just because we don't understand. The clearer we understand, man, you ain't, there's no fear of man can stop nothing when you see. Because that same love that compelled Him is that same love that can compel me. Yes. And all of a sudden I realize you have so much value. And every human being I ever see on earth has the same value. And you think I'm going to get trapped and stumble with issues today? You're talking to the wrong fella. Well, Dan, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but you don't, it's been tough, man. You don't know what it was like growing up, brother. What does that have anything to do with what I'm talking about? Watch this one. Well, yeah, I mean, I'd like to believe it, but I never had a loving father to teach me love, so it's hard for me to believe God loves me. Stop it. What's that have anything to do with what I'm talking about? I'm talking about God sending His Son. Why are you comparing a dysfunctional empty cup called your dad in the past to God that's full of love and full of life and wanting to reveal Himself through His Son? Why are you trying to find Him through your dad? You find Him through His Son. You say, Dan, that's easy. You're being insensitive because my dad was an alcoholic. So was mine. So what are we going to do? Compare stories, see who's been through the most hell, so we can see who we give the most sympathy to? I'm not being mean. You say, Dan, I was touched wrong. Wonder if I was. See, I got you now, don't I? Because we all have stories, don't we? Sin's tried to crush us all, hasn't it? Come on, I'm not being insensitive. I'm not foolish. I'm not being insensitive. We've all been through stuff. And some stories are way more traumatic than others. But that is not what defines you. And it's the biggest mistake we make in the church, trying to get God to go through all that instead of just go to Him by faith and say, you know what? Man, look, my dad told me I'd never be nothing. I had to pick him up drunk in the bars and drive him home, and he'd curse me and drop four-letter bombs at me the whole way home. Why? He was a dry and empty cup, had nothing to give, and he was taking his despair out on me. What sin would love is that to get into my heart, reproduce me, and steal away another generation, have another alcoholic that beats down his kids. And then we just say, well, it's a generational curse. Wonder if it's a lack of understanding and unbelief. Wonder if we've made a monster out of generational curses and we've excused ourselves from believing the finished work of Christ. You try to put a generational curse on me and trump the blood of Jesus. That thing will get beheaded. Come on. Don't you wait too late for me, and I'm not thumping your ministry, but you're way too late to try to sell generational curses to me. I read the rest of the book. If one turns to righteousness, he's blessed to 1,000 generations. Don't you tell me that sin of my forefathers has any voice in the finished work of Christ that makes me a new creation. Look, if old things are past, I'm not saying generational curses aren't real. I see them in people. You can track them in people's families and lives. But it's only when we're living in fear, apart from understanding and apart from the blood. We better preach a stronger gospel and stop making these things bigger monsters. I'm telling you, we are not people with a whole bunch of problems. We are people with an answer. And His name is King Jesus, and the work is finished. Come on. I feel, I'm telling you, man. You just start. Come on. You say, that pastor's strutting. You better believe I am. I feel like a barnyard banny right now. You don't mess with a banny. They'll tear you up, spur you up. It's knowing who we are, guys. But if all you're doing is praying for a break and catching a break, you're missing the whole point. You've caught a break. The stone's rolled away. You say, I'm waiting for my breakthrough. You're way late. The stone is rolled away. He done broke through. See, you still think. What, she got an ATM machine? Can I hug you? You're amazing. What is she doing? You honor
in every time I agree.
You honor the truth. Man, yes, I saw that in you right out of the gate. I bless that in you. That's why I hugged you. You're a trip. She's amazing. Like what? I'm thinking the better I preach, the more exercise she's getting. I was tempted to tone it down and give her a break. I said, no, that's the devil. I'm going to bring it. You guys are a lot of fun. Can I read Genesis? You guys all right if I read Genesis? We probably ought to go back to the beginning if we're going to find out anything, right? Listen, we were all homeschooled. It was just the wrong home. Seriously, I know that's funny. It sounds funny, but it's not a joke. We were all homeschooled. It was wrong home and the wrong tutors. It was the spirit of this world and the wisdom of this age and all that stuff. You got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You got to be transformed, not conformed to the world. Come on, it's not he said, she said anymore. It's I love you.
Amen. That's good.
Wow. Man, that's good.
It
wasn't that good. She didn't get up, man. I'm just so messed up. Stop it. I'm freaking out, man. I've never seen anything like this. What are you doing? Stop. Oh, my goodness. But that is good. God is good. Stay there. Stay. Stay. Listen. A renewed mind. The Bible says that we're not conformed to the world anymore. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. What transforms you is you thinking different. And the only way to think different is to stop thinking for you. If you incorporate Jesus into your life in hopes of a better one, you'll be way deceived. He becomes a brand new life.
Oh, wow. Yes.
You're not the CEO of Jesus Incorporated. It's not I'm bringing him into my heart, I'm bringing him into my life. He becomes your life. Old things pass away. All things are new. You put off the old man and his deeds. You put on the new man who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. That's Colossians 3. I wasn't taught that growing up. I was taught Jesus died on the cross because I was a sinner and I better stay in church because if the trumpet blows, I'll go to hell. Where's the love relationship in that? There's fear. I'm looking over my shoulder. I feel bad about myself. And the only reason he dies is because I'm a sinner. Okay, that's great. Why would you be so crazy to hang on a cross and die for me when I'm a sinner? What's up? And I never understood. So by the age of 20, I quit going to church because it didn't make sense. Did anybody relate to that? You're just a Christian to go to heaven and you need to repent because you sinned and this poor fellow Jesus, all of a sudden it's an Easter story and we're crying over a suffering Savior instead of rejoicing that sin's been cursed and we've been made righteous in His sight. Yeah. Look, He bore our sin in His body on a tree that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, and by His stripes we're healed. That's why we'll pray for the sick after a bit, for the forgiveness of sins. Come on, if your sins are forgiven, then the effects of sin must be destroyed by the same work. That's why you eat the flesh and drink the blood and partake of life. Yeah, you tell I'm excited, my pitch is raising up there. Ah! Yeah. Man. Come on, we can wake up this way, guys. We can wake up. You can't, you have to be willing to become love. You have to give up your rights. You have to surrender. Look, if any man come after me, let him first deny. Oh, that's the biggest deal right there. So all Jesus is asking you to give back is what you never were in the first place. Why is that such a sacrifice? Well, this gospel will cost you everything. It costs you nothing. You give back the lie. But all my life, this gospel will cost you everything. No, you give back the lie. You give back the right to your own life for your own sake. She's amazing. Are you guys getting this? Whoever heard that? Christianity costs you everything and it's a tough price. And you're just giving back what you never were. You're giving back what you became when man ate the tree. We were all born into Adam. You must be born again. How we turned that into a prayer to go to heaven, I'll never understand. It never was that way. There's no scripture that says that. He's the way back to the Father. Heaven comes inside of you. But we make it this prayer we pray so that we go to heaven someday. And that's the big push. The big push is the transformation of your life so the lie can get crushed by the truth. So the truth can prevail and make us all free. Man, that's good. See, I don't teach people that quick prayer to heaven. Man, if you're going ready to get saved, I teach you water baptism. I've baptized people in my hotel bathtub. Several. I've done them in swimming pools at hotels where I stay. I've done them in muddy creeks and ponds. I get them to water. Why? Because I want them to relate to the day they died. I hold them under till every bubble stops. Because I'm a man of faith. I'm a good pastor, man. If you're getting born again, you're dying. You're dying. You ain't going to get religious. You're dying. So I put you down. I get a couple strong men to push on your chest to make sure all the air's gone. And then we bring you up. And we got new life. I'm just kidding. Actually, the paradox is this. Jesus paid. You tell me God ain't good. Jesus paid an amazing serious price in His body. Those nails were real. Jim, those whoopings that we talked about, that was real. He bled real blood, man. His flesh was laid open. And he had to literally die and go into the tomb and then raise up by the power of God. All we do by faith and sincerity, go under the water for a second and a half, come up and wear everything he accomplished. And you think I'm going to complain about anything? The only reason I can complain is because I'm blind and dull of understanding. Because the Bible says, do all things without grumbling and complaining. Why? So the world sees your innocent, harmless children in the midst of the perversion. You've been born again. We think for ourselves and don't even think much about it. It's so normal. No, you think for the kingdom and you think for others. You think for the Lamb of God and the people He made for His image. And you realize that your life is a living epistle to be written on the hearts of men. That your life has a sphere of influence. And what's important is that in that sphere of influence, you send a message of Him. And that's not preaching with a bullhorn and Jesus is coming soon, pray this prayer, repent. It's walking in love, making peace, showing mercy, and looking like a son of God. So that men see your life and say, wow, that's what God looks like. You guys all good?
Yes.
Do you see why if you're thinking that way, you'll never be discouraged again?
Come on.
Yeah, look, I'm way past you trying to figure me out and you not believing me, okay? Look, this whole room could not believe me and I'm going to go to bed in peace tonight. I want you to believe. What I'm saying is I'm not threatened by persecution, consternation. I'm not threatened by people that want to debate and fight without experience. I know Him now to some degree. Like, you can't stop the train. Like, I'm going to lay on my bed and the whole world could be mad at me and the church could say I'm a blasphemer and you can't stop me from hearing His voice. You can't stop me from loving you. You can't stop me from waking up in His presence tomorrow. No matter how much you gossip behind the scenes, He's going to be in me and on me. You're too late. Nobody's unbelief can stop the truth. Now, I'm not saying that because I'm mad at people. What I'm saying is that's the frivolous thing we do. And the people that are in that realm are the ones being robbed. Because you can't stop a revelation. You can't steal away a true experience. And the only reason you're thinking that way is because you haven't been with Him. You haven't tasted Him. You don't really know Him. Men mock and scoff. Whoa.
Now you're on.
See, Jesus loves me so much. You were not getting that in my hand. He said, no, you will not give my son a handheld. That's bondage to me. So He clicked that mic right on. Thanks, though. I would have done it. I would have tried. But I'm terrible. You sound, man, I would have made you pros, man. Thank you, Jesus. Do you see how He clicked that as soon as it touched my fingers? Snap. Whew. Should we just read Genesis and get it over with? I'm setting you up because I want to teach you something. The longer I wait to go there, you're going to see, no matter how much time passes, when we go there, it'll say the same thing it would have a while ago. That's a big deal. Because life and people haven't been that way. No matter what I'm going through and how I'm tempted to feel, when I open that book, it's the same. And heaven and earth is passing away, but my word remaineth forever. So I probably ought to live by what He says instead of how I'm tempted to feel in the moment. Come on. If we're not careful, we've become a ministry-crazed people that are accommodating one another's feelings. Teaching each other to live by how they feel and sensual. And if you ain't feeling good, you ain't doing good. If you ain't believing right, you ain't doing good. Sometimes my feelings try to be contrary to what I know is true. That's why I have to cast down every imagination and thought that rises above the knowledge of God, bring it into captivity and hold it obedient according to Christ, because it's a powerful weapon of warfare. It's not, Sally, can you pray for me? It feels like it's going to be one of those days. And then Sally's honored because you called her. And you might even be letting Sally find her identity and just helping everybody. And watch, and if Sally isn't coupling her prayer with strong truth to get you out of that thing, she's doing you injustice because she's teaching you that you're only as good as you feel. And then she's praying, spiritual God, would you bless her and let your mercy come on her? Oh, Sally, I'm so glad you're here. What would I do without you? The peace that comes on me when you pray, girl. You just got a connection. Come on, that's every day in the body of Christ. Boy, I'm touching something right now. And the thing is, I don't even feel like backing off at all. Because we've been a ministry-crazed people, and I'm not against praying and loving for one. There's a time you need to hold somebody's hand, man. There's a time you need to hold somebody and just cry with them. But if you do that without giving strong truth and teaching them the heart of God in the matter, you're going to do them injustice. And the highest grace they receive is the simple fact that you care in the moment. But they're still going to wake up and feel the same and think the same and have the same perspectives tomorrow, and they'll probably need Sally again. Now watch this. A lot of things we make prayer issues aren't even prayer issues. They're truth issues. So if you wake up in the morning, who's ever woke up in the morning and just felt in their mind like, oh boy, it's going to be one of them days, and your body wasn't clicking and you didn't feel like going to work and you just didn't feel encouraged. Who's ever had one of those mornings? Be honest, I'm not setting you up. I'm not going to say, unspiritual heathens, pagans. I have felt that way waking up already. You say, you? Absolutely. But I promise you, calling you for prayer, it didn't even cross my mind. You can tell, because see what's wrong. Your prayers never even did that to nobody. I'm just kidding. Watch. Truth makes you free. So if you feel like that, you don't live by your feelings, you live by truth. So does he love me? If he feels far away, is he there? So why do I need prayer? Now it's time to believe and confront those feelings as they've been driving me my whole Christian life. We spend countless hours ministering to flashbacks, memories, impressions. When all those things should be countered with strong truth of how I'm transformed, and those things should spring you into deeper relationship and a greater manifestation and declaration of truth. So if I have a bad memory of 5 years ago, do I need deliverance? No. I need to rise up and worship Jesus and thank Him for saving me and delivering me and calling me out of darkness. And then the person I was just thinking about is long dead. And I thank you. There's no capacity in my heart for even walking in that arena anymore. And I thank you. You've opened my eyes to see. God, you've been good to me. That sure beats going through healing and deliverance every time you have a memory. We're not teaching that in the church. Now, I know deliverance is real, and I understand sometimes people need set free, but the average Christian is flashing back, feeling bad about it, and taking it into their identity instead of rejoicing that they're not that person anymore and freaking out in the gospel. So all of a sudden, the devil just, he calls the little imp over. He says, hey, man. He said, Tim thinks he's rolling strong right now. I'm just picking on you because you're on the front row and I know your name. He says, you know, he thinks he's rolling strong and he thinks he's all born again and tongue talking. You do talk in tongues, you know? No, I'll pray for you in a minute if you want. I'm just having fun, Tim. I'm just kidding. The fire of God. No, I'm just kidding. I'm having fun. Okay, watch this. You just
tell him he's really not worthy. He's just living a dream. It ain't really that way. And God really doesn't know him personally. He's just, look, you face it, he just goes to church like every other person that goes to church. Nothing's really changed. You know, your Christianity's really not accomplishing all that much. You know, you're really not that worthy. I mean, what's the big deal? I mean, is the world changing around you? Are people falling on their face before God because you're in their presence? Come on, man. It's not all that. You're just like anybody else that goes to church. So calm down. And it ain't like that, Tim.
Tim has two options. That's the first one. That's the one I don't suggest. Or Tim hears that, totally ignores it. You ever play the ignore game with each other as you're growing up? And you're like, oh, come on, I know you. See, you think you're in a fight against the devil. We're even taught to fight against the devil. No, you're called to submit to God. Submitting to God is fighting the devil for the Christian. Oh. It's a one-step program. Submit to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee. You put him on a stage, he'll perform. You start swinging at him, he'll duck and pop you in the head. You're not called to fight the devil. You're called to fight the good fight of faith. You're called to believe who you are in the face of all his lies. Shoo, this good preaching, girl. Yeah, you don't have a dollar? No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I am not that free. No, stop. I'm actually trying to get away with that. This is bothering me a little. I have never seen anything like this.
You can't stop it.
Oh, God. He said, he told me at lunch how they do offerings. I thought, oh, dear Jesus. You know what I get accused of? They say, you ain't a water hose. You're a fire hydrant. You're just preaching truth. I'm trying to write, and you said three more things. I'm thinking, we can't do this. If people get touched, they'll just keep running up and stay in your seats. Watch this. Tim hears that. He hears it. Father, I thank you that I'm worthy. Father, I thank you that you've marked me for destiny. And God, I thank you you've given me the grace to sow, to water, and to see increase. And I thank you my life matters so much to you to never shed your blood, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you desire to live in me. I'm a house fit for a king. Didn't even know it. Man, I'm prime real estate. You paid the highest price for me. And all of a sudden, the lie provokes him to intimacy and communion with God. So the little imp, he hears Tim. And he's like, and it says they hear the name of God and they tremble. So he's like, whew. He goes back to the boss. Boss, I told that guy everything you told me to tell. Everything, boss, I promise. And he lifted his hands and worshiped God. And the devil goes, you fool. You couldn't have told him what I told you to tell him. There's no way. I did, boss. There's no way. Because when you tell Christians those things, they get depressed, discouraged, and call a friend for prayer. Oh, this is getting so good. He says, now you go do what I told you to do. I did, boss. I'm telling you, this guy, he ain't like other Christians. No. Watch. Yeah, that's good. So watch what the devil says. He says, no, you're deceived. I know all men. They're all alike. They all love themselves. They're all in it for them. None of these people really love God. They just need God. And there's a difference. So what I need you to do is go remind him of those teenage years. Remind him of those two things. Remember, we always bring them up. Those things that make him feel regretful and guilty. Yeah, boss. This is a big hit. I'll do it, boss. I promise. I'll do it. He does this whole thing to Tim. And Tim goes, thank God he doesn't go. That's not the option. Tim goes, Father, I just thank you that my life is so redeemed. I am so not the man that I used to be. You know, people could remember me for yesteryear, but man, I am judged for what I've become in you, and you have made me brand new. The things that used to be in my heart are no longer in my heart. God, you have made me a brand new man. I am righteous in your sight. My face is unveiled. God, even while I was yet a sinner, you sent your son, and you made me holy, blameless, and above reproach in your sight, and ain't nothing talking me out of it. I am a man of God. And the devil's like, ow! Right? Now watch. Submit to God. He's never bound him. Talk to him one time. Let him keep blabbing his mouth because he's spurring me to truth. Look, if he's a liar, we all say he's a liar. So you say, well, the devil just keeps... Well, he's a liar! So take what he's saying, flip it, and go free! Yeah! Oh my gosh! Yeah! Do you get it? Don't say, but the devil keeps lying to me. What? He's a liar, Jason, right? He's a liar. So if he's saying you're never going to make it, you must be going to make it. Yeah, that's the response. That's the response. That's what we should do right there. Woo! Man, he says you'll never amount to anything. You're going to amount to something. That rejoice, that response is what you ought to do in your car when you ain't in church and you hear that stuff. Are you guys following me? Man, we got a whole weekend together too, man. I'm having so much fun. I mean, we're only half cocked right now, man. This thing, I'm serious. Yeah. But we're easing in because we need to get it, right? Are you guys getting this? Do you see you have the weapons of warfare? Do you see that people aren't your problem? Do you see that the devil's not even your problem? Not believing the truth is the problem. Living how you feel is a problem. Living by faith is victory. You see, you don't know how I feel. Look, I love you. I'll be as sensitive as I can. But that's not the truth about you, how you feel. And we spend way too much time on feelings. The more I release faith, grace stewards my feelings and brings them into alignment and actually restores and redeems all things. So I'm not living in denial. That's what we're afraid of. I've been in circles where I've watched people grab this and live free, and the people around them are trying to pull them out of freedom, saying, look, you're not facing the reality, you're just in denial, look, it's okay if you're... Because we don't even know what it looks like to be free. And we so relate to our own experiences and everybody else's that we think everybody has to look a certain way. And if they don't, they're trying to put on a show or perform or be in denial. It's a sad day, man, when faith and freedom isn't even recognized by God's own people when it's what we're called to. Wow. Here's what we say from the pulpit. We say, listen, man, if you got one of these guys that's just always okay in your church, he's just always, hey, I'm okay, hey, I'm good, man. You need to take that brother to breakfast, get him alone when ain't nobody around, look him in the eyes and say, okay, now, brother, it's just you and me. How are you really doing? Why do they preach like that? Because they're preaching out of their own experience because they're not free. And they're expecting that no one can be free. So either I'm the most deceived man you've ever met and I need help really bad. Or I'm free. It's one or the other. Now we'll find out in that day, but I'm banking on free. All my chips are on free. But we'll find out in that day. Whew, Tim, this is good preaching, buddy. Yeah. Inadvertently, we're not even prophesying directly, but he's getting prophesied over and everything. Isn't that awesome? Look, you guys will all be trying to stuff on the front row next service. You know what I'm going to do quick? I'm going to read Genesis. 1:26. Then God said, let us make man. Let us make who? Man. In our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. Look at verse 27. See, God didn't just talk about it. Whew. In verse 27, he did it. Watch. So God created man. Watch. In his own image. Now he repeats it. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. He makes sure you realize that male and female are both created in his image. He says it four times in two verses. Likeness and image. Four times in two verses. Why? Because out of the mouths of two or more, every word's confirmed and established. He wants us to see clear why man is on the planet. Man was made for his image. He said to Adam, the day you eat the tree, it's right there. The day you eat the tree is the day you surely... Did he fall over dead? So everybody says, no, his spirit died. We don't really know what that means. We say his spirit died. It sounds spiritual because we use the word spirit. Here's what happened when he ate the tree. Everything God made him to be was lost. It died in an instant. He got cut off and separated from God. And everything he was created to be, the image of God, got perverted 180 and became just the basic image of man. Watch. What is God? God is... Would it be safe to say that to define God as love is scriptural?
Yes.
So the image of God, you could say glory, majesty, you could say a lot of things. But would the image of God be best represented by love? Because everything that he is flows from the place of
love.
For God so loved. It didn't say for God so full of glory he sent his son. Everything that God is because he's love. So if God made man in his image, what did God make man to be? No wonder we were all thinking for ourselves and in desperate need of love from the time we can remember. Trying to fit in, find identity, not be rejected, fighting from the spirit of rejection. Why? Because love became self-centered, self-serving. Love got cut off from and became in desperate need of. Oh, is my battery's out? I don't know, man. God, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Sure. He saved me twice in one night. Born again twice in one night. Are you guys following me?
Yeah.
See, Energizer Bunny ain't no match for the kingdom. I'll wear him out every time. I'm serious. Do I look tired to you? He is no match, man. Now watch, we're on such a serious moment here. Watch, seriously. See, some of this stuff is so shocking. Who's been like, oh, a couple times when I'm talking like it really hits you hard? The reason we're laughing so much, it's God's mercy. It's Holy Ghost anesthesia. You're being cut and circumcised. You don't even know you're bleeding. You're like... And you're going to leave here and truth is going to have an amazing impact. And the things that were imparted, when you start thinking the old way, it'll get assaulted and confronted by the truth that's ravaged your heart. Do you get what I'm saying? So it's Holy Ghost anesthesia. So you're like, ha, 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 and you don't even realize what's going on. You were so laid open and he's just, you're like, oh, are you bleeding? It's just so fun. Because it's not some heavy, oh, you know, oh man, we need to become love, man. See, when God preaches like this, it's not to show you where you're not.
Come on.
It's to show you where you're called.
Come on.
He doesn't want you leaving here saying, boy, I got a long way to go. He wants you skipping out of here. I got somewhere to go. Man, the light was set on the trail and I am running well. It ain't about where you're not. It's about where you're called and what you do with truth as it's presented. Shaw, man, I'm preaching so good. I have to be because I'm in your house and you preach good. So you're a good guy. Man, I love you. I really do. Oh, he's the best. Really looking forward to hanging out with you some more. Watch this. God made man in his image. So God and man are one. So he's rooted. He's grafted in. He's in the vine, the sap. They're one. So God makes man on the earth to express love. Tells him to be fruitful and multiply. And cover the earth. That's really to cover the earth with his glory. Because that's who man is in the image of God. The glory of God revealed. Any manifest attribute of God is the glory of God. They put him in a little garden space and said, be fruitful, multiply. That's strange. You're going to grow out of a little one-room, two-bedroom apartment, one-bedroom apartment in a while. Why would he put him in a garden space and tell him to tend it and keep it and be fruitful, multiply? Because he was going to spread that paradise and land of pleasure and paradise out. Not pleasure in a sensual way, until it covers the whole earth with God's glory. That's why when Moses and the children of Israel were failing terribly, the children of Israel, Moses is going through a wardrobe, tearing clothes, dust on the head, tearing clothes, dust on the head, repenting. At one point, God said, "You listen to me, Moses. As surely as I live, the whole earth shall be filled with my glory." What's he doing? He's prophesying. He's declaring there's going to be a people. There is going to be a generation that love not their own life unto death, that understand where they're alive. They won't know how to complain. They won't know how to give up. They won't know how to love their own lives. They will just walk like me and be like me and be unstoppable. The earth shall be filled. We think it's a mystical revival. It's people knowing who they've become. Are you hearing me? Oh God, are you sure? Oh my goodness. I was hoping it went away. I'm not disrespecting outpourings of God's Spirit. That would be ludicrous to disrespect. But what good would it benefit us today to have some great outpouring and still be angry with their neighbor, judgmental and jealous towards one another? We have missed something terribly, and we got caught up in some riverboat thing and missed the whole point of it. Why do we need God to chill me and vibrate me and burn me and miss the message that I'm supposed to see you like He does? Watch. What good would it do for me to go to church for 50 years, never miss a Sunday, serve and minister and respond like the man in crisis that never went to church? Surely the gospel has to be greater. In all you're getting, get understanding. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be transformed by that same renewing. Come on. What good would it do to just be faithful in a church and sing all the right songs, get thrown in crisis, respond like the man that doesn't even believe in God? Surely we've missed the point if that's the case. Because they're supposed to see us and say they're blameless. They're innocent. They're harmless people in the midst of perversion. Man, when you're faced with injustice, mercy ought to pour out of you. You ought to just rejoice in the love of God that no man owes you anything and you owe no man anything but to love. So here's the deal. Every one of us was born into the rat race of identity crisis. When Adam ate the tree, he lost who he was. It was the day he died. So Jesus came, the second Adam, the last Adam, to model what life looks like, to show us who we are. Jesus modeled the life that we were created to live. That's why He said, "Follow me." He didn't just say, "Sing to me and pray to me." He said, "Follow me." Yeah. Jesus. He's way more than our Savior. Yeah. He's our model for life. And through Him we find the Father, but through Him we find ourselves. So good. Are you guys getting this? Yeah. I'm so excited. Do you see what's wrong with me? I believe what I'm telling you. It's not my fault. Everything I believed before sure didn't produce anything. I believed if God tweaked you years ago, I thought if God would tweak you, the world would be a better place. Isn't that how man thinks? Thinks for himself. Well, I don't know why you don't just straighten out people, God. If you were up there and you're God, why do you let people act so stupid? Why don't you just change people? And He's like, "Man, I love you, boy. I really wish you'd get that view for your own self and let me have my way in you." Because once He changed my eyes, you could never again be my problem. Come on. Jesus is at the table breaking bread, man. He's cutting covenant. He's giving His life. His life's on the line. He's got guys telling Him they'll die for Him, and He already knows they're running. And He's still breaking bread and sipping cups. Come on, He had foreknowledge of Judas and Peter and all the disciples. Come on, in our today ministry world, that's the recipe for another hurting minister who can't rely on people and lays down his life and they break his heart and break his trust, don't run with the vision, and he's willing to give it all, and people say one thing and do another. But he doesn't know how to be hurt because he's hurting for them. He's too busy modeling the truth so they can step into it instead of accuse and accost where they're not. He's just too busy laying down a pattern for them to follow and become. You say, well, what, Dan? You're giving people the permission to live dishonorable and broken trusted? No, we're all called to that. But if you're not living that, why should that change me? Let me come over to my buddy Tim again. So if I put an expectation on Tim, and I need Tim to be a certain way for me to be okay, I've just set him up to fail, to disappoint me. Now I have a reason for not being okay. And when I think of Tim's name or hear Tim mentioned, all I can think is of how he failed and didn't measure up to what I expected instead of his value, his gifting, and his destiny. That's what it means by no man owes me anything. I owe no man anything but to love. I woke up today not to be loved by Tim. And if he loves me, that's awesome. I woke up to love Tim. Why? Because I got born again. I didn't pray a prayer to go to heaven. I got born again. What I became through Adam was destroyed. Now I'm in Christ. Before Christ, I was needy. I needed you to tell me I was awesome to believe it was true. And then if you didn't tell me enough, I was insecure. And I actually needed you to tell me all the time. So now I'm even living at your expense to get me. I could even serve in a ministry and go extra, extra mile to just get accolade because I really don't believe I'm worthy. And when people tell me I'm the best servant ever, and now you're triple deluxe servant because everybody in church is talking about you. And the only reason you're serving is because you don't believe you have value. And when people tell you that you're the best ever, you feed on it and your servanthood becomes your identity instead of your sonship. So now you're in the most dangerous place of your life because you set people up to break your heart as much as accommodate your heart. Because if they fail to recognize you, acknowledge you the way you need it, because it's like feeding an addiction, now you're shattered, hard-hearted, and people don't appreciate you. And all of a sudden, that church doesn't even know love. And the problem is, you're bankrupt of it. Who's ever heard this? Well, I went to that church and it wasn't a loving church for sure. Well, it should have been. You were there. You see? It's these little foxes that spoil the precious fruit. It's these little wrong beliefs that we carry that we inherited through the fall that the world taught us, not the kingdom. The world taught us to think that way. It's called the way that it sure seems right. It seems right. But when you look at what it produces, it can't be right. Because it produces death. It seems right. It seems that I lay down my life and put all my trust in you and you do things wrong. Now my heart's broken. It seems right. But look what it produces. When I look at Jesus, I can't find that in Him. I can't find Him going to Golgotha with the cross beat beyond description and getting halfway up and all of a sudden His mind's getting analytical. God, I did nothing but good these whole 3 years. I mean, I realize I was slain before the foundation. I agreed to come and I know they have destiny and value. But Lord, I'm shook right now. You know, I did nothing but heal. I did nothing but good. And all of a sudden, He's rationalizing. Did you ever rationalize? People say, well, God made us that way. No, we became that way through the fall. God never gave you the ability to talk yourself out of Him. Wow. Reasoning ability, of course. But God, who's rich in mercy, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Healthy reasoning's in God. But the things that talk you out of hope, destiny, future, good disposition, God didn't make us that way. That's coupled with the lies from hell. So here's Jesus going to Golgotha, and all of a sudden He says, you know, I just know, but it's like the straw that broke the camel's back when they released Barabbas. It's working on me. Barabbas, I mean, that's an offense to me. Are you kidding me? I mean, he's a conspiracy guy. He's a murderer. I'm here to save lives. I've healed. I've restored. I've delivered. And the best they can do, I mean, I heard that one person yell, let His blood be on us. I mean, what an ungrateful group of people. Next thing you know, He's dropping the cross and saying, you know what, God? I'm not sure I want to do this because I've done nothing but good and they still can't see. I've healed everybody and they're releasing Barabbas and crucifying me. God, if they didn't change by now, how do we know they're ever going to change? I think I've done enough right now. I think I'd rather you just beam me up and I'm done with these people. Now look, if he said that, we'd understand. Because he's totally right. It'd make a great talk show. We're all villains and he's the victim. Do you hear how funny and hilarious it sounds when you put those words in Jesus' mouth? It's because we taught Jesus a certain way and we see him a certain way, but we're made for his image. So if those words sound foolish in his mouth, they're just as foolish in ours. Amen. If you can't find the way you're thinking in the mouth of Jesus, throw it out of your thoughts. If you can't find the way you're justifying and rationalizing in your words in Jesus' life, then get rid of it. It's a stumbling block to you. Are you following me? Come on, who are we following? Who? Jesus. Isn't that awesome? So we're made for God's image. Do you see that in your Bible? I finally read it, Genesis. Why did I take you there? That's where you find why man's on the earth. Why did God make man? For his image. Matthew 18, Jesus came to seek that which was lost. What was lost? Our created value. The image of God. So why did Jesus die on the cross? Because we're sinners? No. Because destiny was lost. He wanted to get the lie off of you so truth could prevail and restore your destiny, your heritage, your legacy. He wants to put a blank page in front of you and let your life write a story. That's why he died. He died so you could finally live. He didn't die so you can go to heaven. He died so heaven could come into you and transform you. That's why in John 20, when he raised from the dead, he came back and he breathed in his disciples. He didn't say be filled with Holy Spirit. He said receive Holy Spirit, and he breathed on them. Why? He took through redemption, brought back to original value. He took his disciples back to the day God made man as if sin never happened because his blood is speaking better things. He breathed on purpose. He breathed on them because he's the Redeemer. He's the second breath of God to man. He took us back to the beginning as if sin never was because his blood is speaking and destroyed the power of it. And now Holy Spirit comes back inside a man and man becomes a living being just like day one, image of God. And immediately says, if you forgive, men will know the way to forgiveness. If you hold back your hearts and shut up your hearts and walk in unforgiveness, how will they know the way? Read John 20. He said, as the Father sent me, I send you. And then he breathed on them and restored them back to the beginning, apart from sin, and said, walk in love. Yes. What he's saying is, I now hand you, Jeff, the baton of the New Covenant, New Testament church. I'm going to ascend to my Father and sit forever at the right hand and mediate on your behalf. Go tear it up, boy. Look like me. Love like me. Be just like me. Yep. We've turned it into going to church, having good services. Man, you go to church and you have good services, but make sure you're pursuing his image and live in love every day of your life. Okay, I got to close up here. Let's just close this out with Colossians real quick. I want you to see this and receive this, please. Man, I'm way back here. I feel far away. Come up here. Colossians chapter 3 real quick. You know, love's amazing, guys. Love doesn't think evil. Do you know how we were living our whole lives with first impressions and stuff? You walk in a room and you judge books by the cover and you decide who you like and who you don't, who you get close to and who you won't. We've lived that way our whole lives. It's because we were bankrupt of love. How are you guys doing? I just realized you're sitting there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Man, Paul said this, the love of Christ compels me. Now, I like that word compelled. I like to interpret it as the fuel in my tank. It's what motivates me and keeps me motoring. The love of Christ is the fuel in my tank. Yeah. Why? Because he judges something. If one died, all died. And if we live because of the one that died, then we who live ought to no longer live for ourselves, but him that died. And therefore judge no man according to the flesh. What he's saying is we'll never see men for face value and what they look like they're producing. We'll see men for their potential and their destiny, and we'll treat them accordingly. That way we'll be sure to love them like God loved us while we were yet sinners. People say, well, if they would just change, or if they would just knock it off, maybe God would come and bless them. Well, if they would just... If you just manifest Him and show Him first love, because nobody loves God first, except that they see God's first love. Wow. See, I picked up a homeless man 2 years ago, and I took him to Walmart, and he was freaked out, and why are you doing this for me? And it's a long story, I won't tell the whole story, but I said, you don't understand the gospel at all, do you? Get in my car. And we headed to Walmart, and he had feces on his pants, he smelled terrible, and he was drunk. Religion says people that have no understanding but are quick to speak, that are full of opinions. Say, well, why are you bothering to do that? Well, you're just looking for a testimony. He's going to be drunk tonight. I mean, how's that going to change him? So you got him a bunch of new clothes. He's just going to get them dirty and poop on them. Oh, you lack of understanding. Wish you would just shh and get some wisdom. The whole time he doesn't understand why I'm doing it. He's walking into Walmart like this. People are just splitting from him like the Red Sea. Most of them go to church. We just don't know what to do with that. So you dress him, you get him a bunch of new clothes, you get him new shoes, you got all the receipts. The teenager that you put all the nasty stuff in, the garbage, to get rid of it so you're not upsetting people. Ask me why I'm doing it. I don't even know him. And I said, well, I think we asked the wrong questions. Why wouldn't I? And the kid went, I said, why wouldn't I? I said, he keeps asking me why I'm doing this. Let me ask you a question. Sound familiar? Why wouldn't I? And he went, watch what this teenager did. He was 18. I asked him. He went, whoa. And he fist bumped me and headed on out with the garbage can. I got up to pay the guy or the lady up at the cash register for all these things. I explained the situation to her, whispered it, had all these receipts. I hope I didn't mess it up, but I promise you it's all upright and I will pay you everything I owe you. She said, you don't even know this guy? You brought him in off the street, you bought him all this stuff, you don't even know him? I said, I just met him down on the square there. She said, why would you do this? I said, you know, that seems to be the going question. I said, I'll ask you the question I asked the people that have asked me already why I would do this. Why wouldn't I? He's a human being in need and I have the ability to help him. Why wouldn't I do it? Watch what she said in 5 seconds. 5 seconds. She went, whoa. If the whole world would think like that, the whole world would change. That's what she said. I took him to the square and I dropped him off the whole way there. I'm talking to him about the gospel. He's really uncomfortable because he's being loved so much. All of a sudden, the Lord gave me a word of knowledge that in the 60s, his heart got hard and bitter towards humanity. His homelessness was actually feeling like he was paying back society by panhandling and scamming and avoiding taxes and all the human things. And he was actually feeling like his anger and his bitterness was expressing itself through homelessness because he felt like he was somehow paying back society. It was so weird. I heard it in my heart and I started talking to him about it. He's choking up, ready to lose it. I'm rubbing his shoulder, talking to him. He's looking out my window. This man hasn't cried for 40 years. I get him to the square and I have to drop him off. And I said, listen, buddy. His name was Billy. I said, I need you to hop out. I got to go preach to some teenagers, man, and I'm going to be late. And he wouldn't get out of my truck. And I said, I need you to go, bud. Come on. He said, he's never looked me in the eyes the whole time. The whole time. I said, do you have something on your heart? Do you need to say something? Because, buddy, I need to get going, okay? He lifts his head and stares me right in the eyes. And I look, and for the first time, we're eye to eye. And he said, you know, I think I can say I love you. And the Spirit of God came in my truck and said, see, Dan, no one loves me first except they see my first love. You keep loving the world. You keep loving the world. He said, people that go to church say, well, he needs to quit drinking. Well, he's just homeless. Well, he needs to change. Well, God would bless him if he get rid of that unforgiveness. He said, those people don't know my love. And this man can never change. except he sees my first love. And my love should come through my people. Yes. Keep loving the world.
Yeah.
I cried so hard I couldn't even drive. I said, Billy, get out of my truck. It was so emotional, it was ridiculous. You think how many pastors and leaders and Christians have another observation of Billy and another answer and another way to help him. And God was saying, it's my goodness that leads him to change. Apart from my love, he has no capacity to deal with his heart. Don't hear this wrong. He spent an hour and a half with Jesus. I hope you didn't hear that wrong. He is in me, you know. I was on the plane with a lady and she's trembling and crying. She says, oh my God. I said, it's okay, honey. That's crazy. I said, what? She said, I'm just overwhelmed. I said, it's okay. He loves you. No, I feel like I'm sitting here talking to Jesus. Because I knew all her stuff. I knew what was wrong in her body. I knew she had digestive stuff. I knew she had chronic fibromyalgia. And I just unveiled her heart for her. And she was shook. And I said, honey, you are. He lives inside of me. And he knows you very well.
Amen.
Years ago, I would have thought that was blasphemy. But now I understand it's gospel. Watch. Billy spent an hour and a half with Jesus. And his heart was already melting. Religious leaders say, well, yeah, brother, but what's the big deal? He's going to be drinking the bottle again tonight, probably. He's just going to mess up them clothes. Oh, you lack of understanding. Some sow, some water.
Yeah. But God.
And God gives the increase. I don't know about you. I want to be on the list of sowing and watering, not criticizing, judging, and analytically assessing. You decide where you're going to be. That's between you and Jesus. And I'm not mad at folks when I talk this way. I'm telling you, we need to shake ourselves free from religion. You all right? I'm not saying anything out of order. My heart is in a good place, man. But I'm telling you, we are quick to speak.
That's good.
We got a lot of opinions that aren't producing life. You got a lot of ideas for Billy, and you failed to love Billy. So your ideas, you don't even have authority to help him because you don't even see his value. Look, I can't even correct you in the Lord if I don't love you first. If I just correct you because you're wrong, you say, well, somebody's got to hold him accountable. Well, it ain't you, friend.
Come on.
Look, don't you discipline your kids because they're wrong. Don't you ever discipline your kids because if you told them once, you told them 100 times, and now you push me too far and you disrespectful, you need to get to your room. You're not teaching them Jesus, you're teaching them flesh. The only reason you discipline your kids is because you're showing them living far below their creative value. And they're missing their identity and destiny. It's not because mommy and daddy's frustrated. God didn't send his son because he's frustrated. He sent his son because he loves you. He doesn't chastise you because he's mad. It's because he loves you. And you're approved as a son. It's just good preaching, guys. Watch this. This is going to be a little heavy for some of you, but you take a deep breath and then I'll say it, okay? And don't take this personal. You just hear so you can see where to go from here. If you take your family to church and make it a big deal that you got to get to church and you don't pursue living Christ outside of church, you're teaching your family by your life that Christianity is church attendance, not Christ-likeness. And then you wonder why they're angry and don't want to go to church. Because they don't see Christ as the goal. Now, I know that was a heavy hit. Take a deep breath and get past that one. It's all right. Because you can say, oh my God, I've blown that one. So why don't you recover today and let today be the first day of the rest of your life in truth. And let your children see the integrity of humility, repentance, and faith. Or you can choose condemnation, guilt, and shame, and regret. That's never produced anything good. Do you know what guilt is? A subconscious confession that you're not forgiven. Do you know what condemnation is? A subconscious confession that your life's worthy to be judged. You know what shame is? A subconscious confession that it's still who I am. What I'm ashamed of is me. And all three are anti-finished works of Christ. And they're never, ever, ever God or subcontracted by Him. You follow me?
Yeah.
I was going to read Colossians. I'm not. I'm finished. I am. I mean, I'm not, but I am for sake of time. We've got... That's not a religious spirit. It's all right. There's children. There's families. We've got three things going tomorrow. We're good. Don't... Religious spirit has no landing strip on me. I don't think so. It's just... It's an honor thing. I don't have to talk all night. I just felt done. I felt like I was done. You guys are getting something out of this, though. Listen, listen. Would God even come and inspire me to talk this straight if our lives weren't worth this, if He didn't think we could live this, if it wasn't our grace, our gift, our calling? Do you think He came tonight to spank us or cheer us on? I don't feel like anybody got spanked here tonight. If you feel spanked, you're hearing in a wrong ear. I feel so excited about what I preached. I tell God, I say, when I leave a service, I say, if they got a third of what I'm seeing right now, I think we did great. Watch this. Your life is a gift. It is. I don't mean to point you out, young man, and embarrass you, but I've been eyeballing you all night. You see me looking over at you all night. Listen, don't you ever forget this. Your life is a gift. Don't you let anything harden your heart. Don't you find yourself with an attitude or feeling angry. I feel like you've struggled just feeling like angry about some things and ain't fair. And don't you do that to yourself. You're way more. Come on, I know when I hear things, He's my Father, but you know what? He's your Father too. And He ain't shaming you. He's calling you out in righteousness and truth. And He's saying, young man, you're worth this moment. This isn't correction. This is cheering you on. Don't you let anything shut you down. You go after Him, okay? It don't have to be nobody else's business. When nobody's looking, you talk to Him and you ask Him to make Himself known. And you tell Him you want to be a steward of the gift of life. And He'll meet you right where you're at, okay? Don't you let anyone harden your heart. Don't let anyone give you a reason for not pursuing Him. That would be a lie, okay? Now, I love you enough. I'm bold enough to point you out of all these people and say, my eyes have been on you all night. And I feel like you have great destiny. And I feel like God has great things, and He doesn't want you in a young, tender age deceived, letting years go by in wrong understanding. Let your heart be free, son. Okay? I love you with all. You can tell I love you. You can feel it in your heart when I'm talking. I ain't correcting you. I'm cheering you on. Okay. Your life is a gift. You got this little window called life. It's here today and gone tomorrow, but watch. It will speak for eternity. You cannot afford to let life speak louder than truth and let your little journey be dictated by the way it's been going or hasn't gone. You have to let your journey be dictated by who He is and what He's done. That is the only thing that makes this clock tick in me. Who He is and what He's done. I am not a product of what I'm going through, trying to incorporate God into it, hoping for change. I've become a product of what He's went through. And now I see everything different. The two greatest commandments on the earth are love God with everything you are. You can't love Him unless you see His first love. That's why I've completely preached the love of God tonight. He loves you for your created value. It's not where you've been and what you've done. It's who you're created to be, your potential, your destiny that He cherishes. And He's willing to pay any price necessary to get the lie off of you so you can fulfill what you're here for. That's the love of God. And that's what causes me to love Him. But the second commandment is like it. He married the two. We have a first commandment and a second for the sake of one and two, but they're both the same. Love God with everything you are and love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't have a good view of you, how do you see them clear? If you don't like who you are, you might be tempted to just fault find and see all the weakness around you, and all of a sudden you're not the only egg in the box, apple in the barrel. When I see me crystal clear and look in the mirror and realize who I've become in Him, boy, does it give me a good view of you. And man, you look good to Him. You are worth me laying down my life. You're worth me flying to Alabama. Do you think I came here because I needed to? Do you think I came here because I told Him I need a certain honorarium and I'm looking for a paycheck? I came here because you're here. And you're worth His blood. And now that I know that, it's easy to stand here and be with you. Do you think I'm sacrificing? Does it look like it? Listen, friend, I'm here because I finally saw who I was. And when I saw who I was, I finally realized who you were. And now I can love my neighbor as myself. And your day of offending me is long over. The only thing you can do is cheer me on. You can't stop the train. It's rolling. You're going to get run over, or you're going to jump on and ride along. Because this train is rolling. The next time you see me, I promise, I'll be just like this or worse. Because I'll know Him a little bit more. Are you guys following me? She's the best.
That train's not going to be stopped.
That train ain't stopping. I bless you with that. I believe that. Do you see why she did that? Tears in her eyes. She said, this train ain't going to be stopped. That's so powerful what you do. I was nervous how I was going to handle it. It's a beautiful thing. The train ain't going to be stopped. I ain't doing this because you went up there again and again and again, but I need your hand. Father, I thank you for your grace upon her life. And I thank you that even in this season of her life, Lord, that you give her revelation upon revelation, that you let the investment you've placed in her, the heart you've groomed in her, be more effective, more influential, and more impactful than she's ever known. And I'm asking, Lord God, that her heart and her soul, her mind and her emotions would be the most sound and solid she's ever experienced in her life. I pray that this season right now that she's stepping into would be the sharpest, soundest season of her life. That her heart is never in jeopardy, that she doesn't have to even try to stir it. Her heart is stirred and she's okay. And when people look in her eyes, they will see where she stands in you. I bless you with that. Unmovable and unshakable.
Yes,
in Jesus'
it.
Name.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Your life's a gift. Love the Lord with all you are, heart, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor. Man, if you don't have a good view of you, you can't see them clear. Some of your neighbors are saying, wait to love me till you get a better revelation. You want to leave here tonight. See, it's not enough for me to teach our identity and teach how much God loves us and our goals to become love. Your relationship with Him and my relationship with Him is the only thing that's going to release the grace to transform my life. If you preach grace apart from transformation, it's a perversion. You're mixing up mercy and grace. Mercy allows you to have another chance when you don't deserve a chance. But grace transforms you and makes you into His image. It's the workmanship of God. Grace is the etching tool of heaven. And as you release faith in what He says about you and who you are, grace comes to make that truth your reality. So in a room this size, I've always found this to be true. And it makes me cry, but I get through it without crying. But inside, there's tears. There's always a handful of folks in a room this size that hear this message so clear, but yet say, I don't want to become love. Because they yell butt their way around it and they paint analogies of people and atrocities. And you're telling me that I'm supposed to and I'm just to be okay if somebody. And they talk themselves out of what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let them hear. I've found that there's always a handful of folks that say, I don't want to become love. Doesn't mean you don't lift your hands when you sing, and it doesn't mean you don't go to church, and it doesn't mean you don't see your need for a Savior. But you're missing why He saved you. The finished work of Christ is not fulfilled. The cross is not paid in full when a man prays a prayer to go to heaven. It's paid in full when His nature's restored back to love. That's the dividends of the cross. That's the glory of His inheritance in the saints. The investment of the deposit of the blood of Jesus into the earth is fully received with full dividends when one son becomes many sons. It's not prayers to go to heaven. It's hearts transformed. It's selfishness back to love. Because in the garden, love became self-centered. In Christ, self-centered goes back to love. And we're grafted back in the vine, rooted and grounded in love. Why? They'll know us by our love. John said, I write you a new commandment, yet it's not a new commandment, it's what you had from the beginning. What's he talking about? In the beginning, when God made man in His image, the reason you're on the earth is to love. It's always been from the beginning. Jesus just brought us back to start. We can play now, and we can win, because now we understand. My days of backsliding, my days of despair, my days of whatever we thought life was, as I'm going way back, are over. For 18 years, I've been just like you see me. I sure have. You don't have to believe me. Time will tell you I'm telling the truth. You know what else? There ain't a closet about me. There ain't a secret. You ain't going to read about me in the paper tomorrow. I'm in love. And don't you tell me we can't be clean. Don't you tell me we can't squeak when we walk and our consciences be clear. Every man doesn't have a secret. Every man doesn't have a closet. Every man can have Christ. You're not selling that to me. You're way too late. Dan, you're arrogant. You're presumptuous. What are you saying? You're perfect? I'm saying He's purified my heart and I've got nothing to hide. And you ain't gonna find no bones about me. Listen in your spirit when I walk. He said, be holy for I am holy. You know how you're holy? Believing He made you righteous. Believing He washed you pure and made you clean. Because if you think clean, you'll live clean. If you think son, you'll bear the fruit of son. If you make a tree good, the fruit's good. We're busy trying to change the fruit to prove the tree. Why don't you just let the tree be? Why don't you just say what you did is enough? If you don't start where He finished, you'll never run well. He accepted you in the beloved. You're not living to be acceptable. He accepted you, and because you're accepted, you'll live acceptable. I promise you, any man, woman, or child in this place that has bondage in their life, repetitive sin and addictions, it's a simple thing. It's not casting out a spirit all the time. You just don't know who you are, and you're living up to the low value you possess. But if you ever see what you're worth and what you're... That's why there's no secrets about me, man. Oh, man, I'm feeling this thing all over me. Don't you tell me we can't live by the Spirit. He says to. If you don't live by the Spirit, you'll fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if you live by the Spirit, what will you do? You won't fulfill the lust. Why don't nobody preach that? Don't you tell me I can't live by the Spirit. To live by the Spirit is to walk in truth and let grace have its perfect effect. It says if I live in righteousness, righteousness will have its way in me and produce holiness. If I stand clean and free in His sight, guess what I'll manifest and live? Clean and free. And when I get alone with Him, there's no veil over my face. I'm an unveiled wed bride. And I'm in love. You say, you're a guy, you better believe it. And I'm His. And on that day, He's going to join Himself to me forever, sit me down at a table, and we're going to feast. I'm going to come down that aisle with my little dress on. It's called righteousness. My hairy legs, my combat boots, and my sword, it's all stained up. And He's going to look to the Father and say, man, He looks good. Look what I did to him. Ooh, I wish he'd hurry and get down here. You better get like this. You better go buy a daisy at the flower shop. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Get down to the last two. Loves me. Loves me. I ain't never found a he loves me not. The world taught us that stuff. You grew up in a world that says don't get your hope up. The Bible says get your hope sky high. You grew up in a world that says what you don't know won't hurt you. And the Bible says what you don't know is destroying you. You grew up in a world that says what you see is what you get. And the Bible says don't ever live by what you see. It's subject to change. What you don't see is eternal. You live in a world and grew up here and you made your bed. You sleep in it. No, he made a brand new bed. Crawl in. It's clean and you'll sleep well. Come on, the language you grew up with is not heaven. We were tutored in the wrong school. We must be born again. It's the gospel. Yeah! Yeah! Come on, celebrate him. Just thank him he loves you right now. Just thank him you're clean. Thank him you're free. Thank him you're free. Thank him you're free. Just tell him, I believe you love me. I believe I'm holy and pure in your sight. Don't you let a devil lie to you. Don't you let a sin flash up in your mind. If it does, say, God, my life is more than that. You're crushing that. God, you put light in me. God, who you are in me is greater. God, I'm free. Don't be afraid to declare you're free. Come on, declare you're free. He has delivered me from the power of darkness. He's translated me into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Come on, that's the gospel. Do this quick. Now, if you're sick in this place and you need healing in any way, tomorrow night we're going to do something amazing. If you can be here, be here. I can't do it tonight. There's just no grace. I would step way out of bounds.